Hey, what is up, you guys? My name is Jade, and welcome to Killer Millennials. Welcome back to another Friday episode of Killer Millennial. Last week's episode was pretty rough. Pretty tough stuff to talk about. But today we're back on the disappearance wagon train. We are talking about a case that is absolutely mind-blowing and confusing. It literally happened within the last year or so. So it is a roller coaster. It is insanely crazy, and I hope you guys are ready to dive into this with me because I had the roughest time researching this case. There isn't a lot of media coverage on this case, even though this case is a little over a year old. So I am ready. Are you ready? This is the disappearance of Summer Wells. So Summer Wells disappeared in 2021, June 15th. 2021 in Rogersville, Tennessee. She was 5 at the time of her disappearance. Her identifying features are she's a white female, blonde hair, blue eyes, buzzed blonde hair, blue eyes, 3 feet tall, 40 pounds, and she was last seen wearing a pink top with gray sweatpants, and she's possibly barefoot. So this case is about to get wild. So Summer was born to parents Candace and Dawn, and is the youngest of 4 children, having 3 older brothers. She loved to play with her brothers, so she was rough and tough and tumble, and she liked to try to keep up with the boys. She's a very, very much a tomboy. She loved to do everything they did. So whatever they could do, she could do. She could do better, you know, play in the mud, ride bikes, that kind of thing. She was a typical girl, typical tomboy girl, but she was also a girly girl at the same time. She loved to dance. She loved to sing. She was like that kind of girly girl. She was a daddy's girl, loved to dance, you know, the typical girl stuff. Summer had a buzz cut. This is kind of conflicting statements. This is where it begins. Her mom cut her hair saying she wanted to look like her brothers and her mom, because her mom had a buzz haircut. While her father, in the same interview, had said that her hair was getting out of control. And that's why they cut it. So in the pictures, if you look, Summer really doesn't have very long hair. It seems like it's more of like a bob length. So was it a possibility that no one was taking care of her hair? I don't know. But it just didn't really sit right with me. But Summer was a typical girl, loved to do all the girly stuff, but she also liked to try and keep up with the boys. Candace, her mom, was a stay-at-home mom. So she was working on getting all the loose ends together for Summer to start school in the fall, while Dawn worked full-time as a, I can't think of what it's called, drywaller. He used to lay drywall. Where they lived in Beach Creek wasn't the safest place. So where they lived, it was kind of like, they didn't really have like a local government. They followed the laws of the county. So it was kind of like out there. It was pretty much out in like the woods. They had a lot of land and a lot of trees, very secluded. But there seemed to be a lot of theft going on and people stealing things, from what Dawn mentioned in an interview before. Their homes are super secluded. They have a lot of land. I'm not quite sure how many acres, but a lot of land, a lot of trees, kind of very out there. Like, if you know, you know, but there's quite a few people that live out in this Beach Creek area. So on 6/15/21, the day that Summer went missing, was pretty much a normal day. Dawn went to work, and his commute is somewhere between 45 minutes to an hour. So everybody was still asleep when Dawn went to work. Grandma Candy, who lives on the property with the family. So Candace's mother, they have the same name. So I've seen a lot of people refer to her as Candy. So that's what we're going to stick with. Because I could not... It's too much. So the grandmother, the maternal grandmother, Candace, who lives on the property, had a doctor's appointment that Candace, Summer's mom, had to take her to. There is so many, like, points of view, and it's really, really tough to kind of break it down because it kind of flips back and forth through perspective and who's telling what and, you know, the recollection from different people. So we're kind of going to jump into how Candace remembers the morning of June 15th kind of going down. So June 15th, in Candace's point of view, is she dropped Grandma Candace off at the hospital doctor's office, at 8 a.m., and her and Summer waited in the parking lot when Candace said she had gotten a call from Hunter, who is a family friend of the Wells. And the other point of view we'll be taking kind of a look at. Hunter is 15 at the time. And Hunter was like a son to Candace. Hunter had asked Candace if they wanted to hang out at his place. So that's where they go to hang out. So Candace, Summer's mom, was friends with Hunter's mom. I believe her name is Allie. But they had a falling out, and Hunter still remained close with Candace to spend time with not only Summer, but her three boys as well. So shortly after, they get a call that Grandma Candace is ready for them. So Candace, Summer, and now Hunter go to pick up Grandma Candace. Next, after they pick her up, they go to a Walgreens to pick up a prescription or drop off a prescription, which will take about 30 minutes. Normal, right? Okay. So that's where they go to a local park, local state park, with like a lake that Summer could swim in. They made two stops before going to the local park. First, a discount smoke shop, so Candace and Grandma Candace could pick up three cans of Twisted Tea, then a local vape shop called Hippie House, while Candace buys a couple of vape pens there. And then when they get to the park, Candace said that Hunter goes into the woods and then eventually comes back out. And Summer goes straight for the lake or the water, while Candace and Grandma Candace, whatever we want to call her, sit nearby to watch her. After a while, they go back to Walgreens to pick up the prescription, but they have made a few stops before taking Hunter home. So they went to, I believe, to the grocery store is one of those said stops, and to a local chain restaurant to get slushies. And Candace said that they were in the grocery store for no more than 10 minutes. So it was just Candace and Grandma Candace that went into the store, and Hunter and Summer stayed out in the car. So now we're going to take a look into Hunter's point of view. This case is just really, really wild. It makes my head hurt. So Hunter's version of things is pretty consistent to what Candace said, but there are minor differences here and there. Hunter said Candace reached out to him, not the other way around, like Candace said. So there's a discrepancy in their stories, kind of like he said, she said. She said that Hunter reached out first, when Hunter is saying she texted him. Hunter saying there was a discrepancy with the boys. That's what I'm trying to catch up on. Hunter saying that he was told by Candace that they were with their dad at work all day, while Candace said they were at home watching TV alone. Kind of weird. Dawn had called them while they were picking up the prescription or dropping off the prescription. They were at Walgreens when he called. Candace had said that he had called to check up on the family, but when Hunter had asked, he had said, or he was told that there was a strange man on their property. And he had also mentioned that Candace wanted to take Summer fishing, but she didn't mention fishing in her story. Just some little conflictions here and there, but could they be major? Possibly. But Dawn and Candace have the same story about the phone call. So, I don't know. This case is just wild. But instead of making the two stops, they only made one before getting to the park. But they made one stop to a local discount. I'm not sure if it was a discount smoke shop or what, but they made one stop, according to Hunter, but prior to going to the park. And they got the exact same items, which was the vape pen, cigarettes, and the twisted teas. He said that he was smoking and drinking with Candace while they watched Summer and the grandmother sat in the car. Hunter eventually got into the, according to him, he eventually got into the water to check on Summer because she did not come up right away. She was kind of like lingering underwater and he wanted to check on her. And that's where the confliction kind of comes in again with Candace's story, because she said he didn't do it. He said he did. Hunter said that they went to the hippie house after the park. He also said that Candace bought him another vape pen at the hippie house. The grocery store stop, Hunter says, they were in there for an hour, but he's a kid. He's an hour could feel like 10 minutes could feel like an hour. I know. I have spent many a times in the car, and it literally was more like 45 minutes. Oh, I'll go in the store. 10 minutes. My nanny and my mom know everybody. They will stop and talk in the store and just talk. So, I get it. But at the same time, there's just like a lot of kind of conflicting information in Hunter's story to Candace's story. It's just, there's a lot of conflicting information. And that's what makes this case so tough. So now we're jumping back into Candace's kind of like point of view, kind of like how she remembers it. So when they got home, they went through the groceries, kind of put them away. And they just kind of spent their day kind of spending time together watching TV. And then shortly after that, Grandma Candace and Candace, the mom, had asked Summer to come outside and help them replant some flowers. Afterwards, Summer runs off to go play with her brothers. Candace, the mom, yells to the sons asking to keep an eye on Summer while she helped Grandma Candace with her knee brace because she had an artificial knee and she was having problems, and that's why she'd went to the doctors in the morning anyway. So Candace said she was with her mother, Grandma Candace, for about 2 to 5 minutes. When she returns, she finds out that Summer went downstairs into, like, the basement playroom area where her room is, the master bedroom is, and their playroom is. They went down to play with her toys, or she went down to play with her toys, which they said was very normal for her. She went to go check on her, and she couldn't find her. She immediately called Dawn, and Dawn told her to call the police. Sorry, I'm lost in my notes. Hold on. She had called 911. Dawn had also called 911. And then she went to go look for Summer. She drove down around the neighborhood, down the streets, kind of like looking for her. She couldn't find her. Sorry. The dispatch call says that the mom, Candace, was on a walk. So could that possibly be a miscommunication between Dawn and Candace when Dawn called 911? Or is that something Candace, I don't know. It's just there's just a lot of contradicting information, and I just can't understand it. So Candace also got the neighbors involved looking for Summer. So she kind of like was like ripping and raring and ready to go looking for Summer. So Dawn had arrived home before law enforcement. But there's not a lot of information to, like, confirm or deny this. Because, remember, his commute to work was 45 minutes to an hour. And could he have really beat the police there? I'm not quite sure. That's just, it's a piece of information that doesn't seem important, but it seems kind of weird. You know, if you know what I mean. The only way out without being seen was the basement door. So in their basement, there was a door, and nobody can seem to remember if that was locked or unlocked. There was no sign of forced entry. So it is a possibility that the basement door was left unlocked. If Summer was abducted, there was no noise heard by Candace, Grandma Candy, by the boys. Like, nobody heard a thing. And it's very odd to me if you walk through somebody's basement and nobody hears a thing. And they have a lot of land, so it would have had to have been quick. So, do I see somebody getting in and out of there quickly? Not really, but hey, nobody knows. So the next day, an Amber Alert and an Endangered Person Alert went out for Summer. Candace was also given a polygraph, but she could not finish the polygraph due to being overly emotional. So Dawn, Candace, and Grandma Candace eventually take and pass polygraph tests. Cadaver dogs were brought in to trace her scent, and they found her scent from a path that leads from the basement door of the Wells home to a road where they lost her scent. So is it possible that somebody abducted her and got her into a car on that road? Maybe. 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 Candace was very upset with the cadaver dogs being out and not being able to kind of wrangle her dogs in, because she thinks the cadaver dogs really got distracted by the other dogs, which makes a lick of sense to me, because they're trained police dogs, trained to focus on one particular thing. But again, I am no professional. I don't know these things. So the neighbors were helping look for Summer, but they refused to let police search their properties. Which again, I am no professional, but it seems very odd when there's a 5-year-old girl missing. But who am I to judge anyone? So a neighbor came forward with some information, really, really important information, I might add. Judy, her name is Judy. The neighbor said shortly before she had learned about Summer that she had heard a scream. Which, remember, these people pretty much lived out in literal BFE. So that would really have to kind of stand out if you heard it. You know what I mean? Judy had said that she was on high alert because of a dispute on the 15th due to property lines. And it was just, she was on high alert. So she was aware of her surroundings and what was going on when she heard the scream. She described it as very animalistic, but wasn't sure if it came from an animal. TBI, which is the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations, and the FBI think her claim really doesn't link to the Wells case, which to me, again, is very odd, but again, I am no professional. They do not pay me to do their job, so I wouldn't know a lick of anything, might I add. So just 6 weeks after Summer disappears, CPS, Child Protective Services, takes the 3 remaining children out of the Wells home. People are very wary of Donnie Candace. I've seen a lot of Reddit threads where they're just kind of like suspicious of Don and Candace. So, I mean, I understand. They're both kind of creepy, weird, strange individuals with a different lifestyle. So you don't know. There's always a possibility for something. But Don said that the home became unsafe and he was glad that the boys were taken out by Child Protective Services. He had claimed, Don also had picked up drinking heavily, and he had claimed to stop drinking after the removal of the boys, but was arrested in October of 2021 for a DUI. This wasn't his first time he's been arrested. He had some charges in Utah, as well as domestic abuse charges made by his wife, Candy, within the weeks and months after her disappearance. Nothing has really been found linking to Summer. So, I believe it was 2 months prior to her disappearance, Candy had dropped the charges, the domestic abuse charges, against her husband, Don. So, again, kind of suspicious to me, but again, I'm a nobody. There are many theories on what happened to Summer, from abduction to the family, to drug dealers, to ex-coworkers, and to something they call the Cornbread Mafia. Yes, I will repeat myself. I said the Cornbread Mafia, which is gangs in the rural areas, the rural areas of Tennessee, but they seem to be also in surrounding states, but I don't know. I do not know. I don't think I want to know. But, again, there's a lot of information, but it tends to get twisted, turned, and flip-flopped. You know. A lot of the information is very contradicting. He said, she said, this case is just kind of all over the map, all over the place. Like, there isn't really, like, a set timeline, set information. Like, it's just very overwhelming and very confusing and conflicting. Like, there's too many cooks in the kitchen, too many clowns in the circus, whatever you will. There's just a lot of contradicting information, and if you want to take a crack at the Summer Wells case yourself, and if you want to find more information on Summer Wells, you can check out the Dr. Phil show, where they did two episodes sitting down with Candy and Dawn, and as well as some body language experts. And you can also check out Kendall Ray, who is an amazing YouTuber on the internet, who brings you these stories as well. She is great. She is a good resource. So if you're looking for something to watch, the video is an hour long, just a fair warning, but it has a lot of good information, and a lot of information that really just seems very minuscule and minute, but anything and everything will help with this case. So police kind of are still working on this. So just remember, this is an active investigation. So a lot of information is not public because they're trying to keep a lot of information private. So unfortunately, to this day, Summer Wells is still missing. And that's very sad and very tragic. And make sure you send your thoughts and prayers to the Wells family. And if you know something, like I always say, say something. So if you have any information regarding the disappearance of Summer Wells, please contact the following: Hawkins County Sheriff's Office at 423-272-7121. Chief Deputy Tony Allen at 423-272-7121, or the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations at 1-800-TBI-FIND. So that was the sad story of Summer Wells. If you know something, please contact somebody. Please say something. If you know somebody that knows something, please speak up and be a voice for 5-year-old Summer Wells. Hug your babies tight tonight. I am sending you guys all the love and positive energy, positive vibes, all of the good stuff. I'm sending them to you, to your family, to the Wells family, to anybody who really needs the positive energy. So I will see you guys on Saturday for a new episode of the Pop Culture Recap. Have a good night, guys.